Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. Yes, amazing. 43rd day of the Omer today. We are entering a brand new week, the week of Malchus. And with the week of Malchus comes a lot of new concepts that we've visited, obviously. This will be the seventh time that we're reviewing Malchus, or that we're encountering concepts of Malchus, but this time, obviously, it's all-encompassing. So, a lot of concepts to go through. So, briefly, just to touch on some of the stuff that we'll be talking about, right? Malchus corresponds to Mamish, this world. That we live in the world of Malchus, or in the Sefirah of Malchus, so to speak, within the four worlds, which are the world of Atzilut, which is emanations, Bria, which is creation, Yetzirah, which is formation, and Asiya, which is action. So here we are within this lowest world of action, in this lowest place of Malchus, and this is the place that we are in charge of, so to speak, that we are partners, and it corresponds to kingship, queenship. In fact, Malchus often has a female connotation associated with it. It also has a connotation of receiving, right? We are now receiving from Yesod, which is filtered in all of the different Sefirot, into Malchus. And the king and the queen, it may seem as though they own everything, but actually they own nothing, because everything they own belongs to the people. There's no king without a kingdom, and there's no kingdom without a people. So when we talk about taking ownership, it really means that we are taking accountability, responsibility, accepting responsibility. Rabbi Nachman talks a lot about Malchus, and the main thing being about accepting responsibility, right? When it comes to, for instance, like Parnassa, that if a person's having problems with Parnassa, one of the main indicators could be that the person is having problems with Shomer Bris, or it could be that the person, right, which corresponds to Yesod, but more likely than not, it corresponds to the person has the problems with Malchus, because Hashem gives each person according to their kingdom, right? So maybe not even in my merit, but it could be in the merit of somebody that depends on me, that they need money, that they need support, that they need nice things, because it corresponds to their neshama. So I would be receiving that allowance of parnassa, so to speak, based on that person's merit. But I have to accept responsibility over that person. I have to say, hey, you know what? This is my kingdom. These are people that I have to take care of. I accept responsibility. For people who often shirk responsibility, so to speak, they are often left disappointed, right? This is the reason why, Kabbalistically, of course, we're not silly and stupid, right, when it comes to spending money or having children. But people say, oh, well, I have to make a certain amount of money before I can get married. Or, oh, once we get married, we have to have a certain amount of money before we can have kids. And it may seem logical on the surface, but underneath the surface, when a person's single, why does Hashem have any reason to give that person extra parnasa? Because really they don't have anybody to take care of, right? They don't have malchus in that regard, unless maybe that person is running a business, and then in that regard, then they do have malchus. Right, so the more people that a person has that's dependent on them, so to speak, the more Malchus he or she has. So this corresponds to last week we were talking about purpose, obviously. So this corresponds to accepting our purpose. Accepting our purpose, living in our purpose. Right, we have our purpose, we know what our purpose is, and that's why yesterday we talked about that, praying for our purpose and praying in our purpose and to make our purpose come into fruition, so to speak. And obviously, that's one aspect. Another aspect is action. We talk about prayer. There's also time that we have to go act. That when the Bnei Israel was at the edges of the Yam Suf, of the Red Sea, and some of them were praying, and Moshe's praying, Hashem said, what are you praying for me for? Go forward. And Nachshon Ben Amminadav had to walk into the water and take a step, and with each step he took, the water split, accepted responsibility, and took action. And another aspect that we're going to really, I believe, be going into, this is what Rav Benji Elson starts off the week focusing on, is leadership and teachership. Meaning that a person has to be a leader, and a person can't say, oh, well, I don't have the ability to be a leader, or I just got started. How can I lead or teach when I don't even really know what I'm talking about? And this is another kind of fallacy of logic, in the sense that, first and foremost, every single person has something that is very, very uniquely them and that nobody else can come close to. And if we're doing it right, that individuality, that essence that no one else can touch, that no one else knows like me, that aspect corresponds to my purpose, which we talked about last week, that we were coming close to last week. So if that's the case, no one else can do it like me, how do I get moving? I get moving by teaching, not by studying, right? As the sages say, that more so than I learned from my teachers, I learned from my students. My Rabbi Benji brings down Rabbi Nachman, that when a student asks a question, it brings down this level that the question had once been in this esoteric kind of other realm, ether realm, that had no sort of formation in a person's head. And when the student asks the question, it now forces the teacher to bring it into his consciousness and to think about it. And oftentimes we get downloads based on those questions. So oftentimes we're able to delve into deeper concepts that we even knew was possible because someone asks us a question. And because we're teaching, because we're taking ownership and leadership over it, so Hashem gives us downloads. And there's certain times in the world where certain downloads are available to the universe, downloads that perhaps hadn't been available in the past. For instance, we learned that just as Alexander Graham Bell was creating the telephone, there was another person, Elisha Gray, that was independently creating a kind of prototype, a design of something that could transmit speech electrically, right, in a different place. So how did that happen? Things get dropped in the universe. Things get dropped into consciousness that maybe weren't available before. Same thing when we talk about the Industrial Revolution. We talk about technology that's now big tech, and we can see all the different steps that have happened since then. It just corresponds to that leadership, that teachership, that taking ownership of something and going and doing the steps necessary to bring it to fruition. That's one thing. Now, another aspect of Malchus, as we talked about yesterday, is prayer. And specifically, the bracha of this week, of this energy, is Shomei Tefillah, hear my prayer. And this is an aspect that we don't really think about with prayer in terms of hear my prayer. Right, hear my prayer, meaning, first and foremost, that Hashem should give us the words to speak, should open up our mouth to be able to speak, that even the very practice and action of prayer is something that we need to pray on, and it's something that is a gift. So too, being able to hear your prayer, right? Being able to hear your prayer is something that is so important. Why? Because you see how many people are going to therapy, which is good. Nothing wrong with therapy, right? But what are we doing in therapy? We are actually being able to speak freely and in a manner that encourages the subconscious to kind of express itself. And of course, there's a cathartic experience there as well with the therapist. But also, it's a chance to verbalize what's beneath the surface and allowing the brain to hear what's actually in there, or different parts of the brain to hear what other parts of the brain are holding. And the mere practice of being able to hear back, right, the therapist many times, they're just saying, oh, what it sounds like to me is dot, dot, dot. And they're repeating back what you just said. Ooh. The ability for our ears to hear what our mouth says is so important. It's also an aspect of his Bodhidus, right? His Bodhidus, as we've mentioned, is the practice brought down by Rabbi Nachman of speaking to Hashem in our own words, in our own tongue, as if we're talking to our best friend. You notice that he'd Bodhidu to said out loud, and we mentioned how important it is to speak prayer out loud, but his Bodhidus and Amidah both share something in the sense that no one else should hear it, right? When we're standing the Amidah, we shouldn't be so loud that somebody else can hear it. And so too with Hid Bodhidut, if we're going to speak louder, we should isolate ourselves in a place where no one's going to hear us. And this is, Benji brings down as well, that Mahus corresponds to silence. And not just like silence, like I'm not going to say anything. We will talk about silence here as well in a minute. But talking about, he says it's like the silence between breaths. Or sighing. Oy, what are we going to do? Right? Rabbi Nachman talks about the power of sighing, that this is an aspect of Shuva, and also talks about the inner scream, the silent scream that happens that you can do inside of your head. That is also very powerful. So all these are things we'll be expanding upon as well, briefly, right? Talking about the element of the week corresponding to Mahus is fire. Right? Fire can be a very positive thing, or it can be a negative thing. Right? Rabbi Chaim Vital, student of the Arizal, talked about the shadow side of fire. When a negative aspect of Mahus is being expressed, it corresponds to arrogance, right? Thinking you're better than somebody else. It corresponds to anger, having short patience, right? Thinking you're right, seeking honor. When someone doesn't honor you, it also makes you angry. Many things make angry. Being pedantic. Pedantic, I had to look that one up. It's like micromanaging, correcting small errors, being overbearing on people. Whenever we're seeing that we're seeking honor, we're wanting to be right, we're needing to be right, we're thinking that we're always right, we're resentful, we're elitist, or uninclusive, these are all aspects of negative traits, expressions of Mahus. And a way for us to reel ourselves back in. And of course, the physical representation or the archetype, so to speak, character is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is all these things, right? David HaMelech is prayer, wrote Tehillim. David HaMelech is the king, right? David HaMelech also, as Rabbi Benji said, did not start off as a king, didn't start off just as we've been learning all 7 weeks, the last 7 weeks, is that the person who represents each Sephira is not the person who was born into that Sephira. It's somebody who had to work on that Sephira. And King David himself, his father Yishai, when Shmuel Hanavi came to look at all of Yishai's kids, knowing that one of them was going to be the future king, Yishai even kept David HaMelech on the side. He was embarrassed about David HaMelech because he didn't have that regal nature to him. He was embarrassed about him for multiple reasons, but that was one. David HaMelech had to learn how to be a leader, had to learn how to be a teacher, and had to learn how to accept responsibility, that even he got in trouble for his actions. And of course, the Gemara is saying that a person who thinks that he really sinned is a fool. We'll get into all this stuff later, but point being, these are some of the main topics that we'll be touching on this week, and that brings us to today, finally, right, talking about Chesed Sheh Malchus. Chesed Sheh Malchus. Now, last week, as we're mentioning, we're talking about in Yesod, about having a purpose, and now transitioning into leadership, ownership, accountability, prayer. But when we talk about leadership, we really don't know what a real leader is today. Unfortunately, we live in a time where people are not trusting of their own leaders. People are not trusting of kings, of prime ministers, of presidents, senators, governors. We live in a time where these people have done a lot to break our trust, and we don't really know what it is to have a king. We don't really know what it is to have somebody who's actually on our side that we can really, really trust, really put in and buy into. And it's very sad to live in a world where there are no political leaders. And even within the religious world, Chas V'Shalom, we see that we live in a generation where people are mistrusting of rabbis, mistrusting of people who present themselves in a certain way. And it's a very sad situation. And we can't say that it's not the fault of those leaders, whether it be religious, political, even with our own teachers. Teachers aren't respected the way it used to be. And this may be an aspect of the teacher, maybe an aspect of society, maybe an aspect of the way we're raised, and the quick descent and decadence of society in many ways, which is also indicative of the coming Moshiach. But when we talk about leadership, when we talk about Moshiach, we're talking about a noble leader. We're talking about a benevolent leader. Something that we really cannot even fathom in today's day and age. Something that we have no relation to, no frame of reference, no experience with, unfortunately. And it's something that we have to read about or hear about. We see in a person who watches movies, can see in movies. But what is asked of us, in our own Malchus, to be a benevolent leader, to be a noble leader, to be a person of the people, not to be a person in the ivory tower looking down, feeling better than other people, especially somebody who does have Malchus, who is in charge of employees or family members, people who are dependent on him or her. It's incumbent upon each person, it's incumbent upon me, to be a noble leader, a dependable leader. And this is what it means to be Chesed Sheb Malchus, somebody that extends Chesed to others, somebody that extends the best aspect, giving nature, merciful nature to others, somebody that the kingdom, those who are within the Malchus, under the Malchus of this leader, feel both comfortable coming to the leader to express their concerns, to express their own fears, to express themselves in any way, and also to rebuke the leader. That the leader can hear rebuke, that the leader can hear him or herself being told, hey, you're not doing such a great job. And the leader is not getting up in arms and wielding power, that the people of the kingship are actually comfortable coming up to the leader and saying, yo, I need your help with this. This you're doing all right, but this, I really need you to pick this up. This is actually the job of the leader, is to serve the people, not the other way around. And it happens in business, and happens at home. This aspect of hearing yourself being rebuked is actually a great kindness. It's a great chesed. Why? Because Torah Bav, Vav, which Breslov Hasidim read every Elul, study it every Elul, it talks about also corresponding to this aspect of silence. And we mentioned it before. And it's to hear yourself be rebuked. That when we've done something not so good, broken a mitzvah, haven't done a mitzvah that we're supposed to do, acting unbecoming of ourselves and our purpose, that one of the ways that Hashem helps us achieve our tikkun is to hear ourselves to be rebuked, to hear ourselves being criticized, yelled at. Chas v'shalom, there's other ways too. If a person has to be pulled over, God forbid, or you know, they say either you're going to hear, Rav Shalom, he says, either going to hear the yelling of your wife, or you're going to hear the screaming of an ambulance, God forbid, or a police car. The choice is ours. So, hearing ourselves to be rebuked is actually a great gift. Being able to accept the rebuke in love, with love, and knowing that it's absolutely for our tikkun, absolutely a good thing, can save us. How many people are going to war for their honor when somebody disrespects them? and they cannot let it go, and how many relationships are being destroyed because of that. So it really becomes the most amazing gift to be able to hear ourselves be rebuked. It is a kindness of Malchus. So for us and for other people, towards other people, we have to have a lending ear. We have to reach out to them and to continue to give and not receive anything in return. And this is so important, to not do something that we're hoping that somebody's going to reciprocate. This whole aspect of a relationship is 50-50, is not Torah-based. It's not reality. I'm going to do my job, and hopefully the other person's going to do their job, his or her job, and but it's not my job to convince that person. If I see something wrong with my significant other, that means there's something wrong with me that I can fix, because I can't control that person. I can't convince that person, talk that person into it. It's me, really, that needs to make the change. We've said this concept a few times in this class the last few weeks, and it still holds true. So, in any case, we should be zoiche to be amazing teachers, amazing leaders, that are noble leaders, benevolent leaders, that listen to those who are in our Malchus, and to have the strength to be silent and quiet, both internally and externally, not to respond, and also not to be allow it to ferment and brew within us with resentment. And in this way, we're going to see ourselves with that purpose, taking that purpose, and becoming the leader that we should be. That's going to help people under our Malchus, and with each person doing his or her job, we see all of Am Yisrael fulfill his or her purpose and be a leader in the way that only you can be. And we'll see real miracles, real revelations, real truth, and true divine leadership with coming Moshiach, rebuilding their temple, all the tribes reunited, and open, free Israel and world, all people working at one. And let us say, Amen, L'chaim, L'chaim.